Good morning. It's good to have everyone out today to worship the Lord. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 12 this morning. The title of the lesson is Be Careful, Be Honest. Now, you may make the mistake the Pharisees are making here with Jesus, and that doesn't turn out real well. I mean, it's easy. The Pharisees are real strict, and they're the majority, and they set the example, but their approach is totally wrong. And they don't know that. And you might end up condemning the innocent here in the first eight verses. Verse 1 and 2, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath through the grain fields. And his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, Behold, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Unlawful. I mean, they're out there traveling. And Pharisees follow or something here, but they catch them. Disciples become hungry, and they walk off in the field, and they start pulling out pods of grain and getting the husk off, and they're eating it because they're hungry. Oh, you can't do that on Sabbath. And they jump them. Sure, there's a law that you're not to do any work on the Sabbath. But what did it mean? Well, they don't care what it means. We have caught. Politicians do this all the time. You know, the hearings, the immigration deal, they passed a law in 1986 and what? Didn't fix anything. It's not about fixing, it's about the show. It's about pretending that we're in charge of this thing and we're going to get them evildoers done. That Jesus, you're responsible for your disciples and they are working. Not only they're harvesting, they're threshing. But verse 3, you know there's exceptions to laws. If you're evil-hearted and narrow-minded, you don't want to see the exception because you just want it to work your way. Verse 3, but he said to them, Have you not read? You know why verses are written down? This is the expression of the will of God. Have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions. I mean, David will soon become the great king of Israel. And they were starving. I mean, did you not read what he did? All you need is one example. One example will destroy your thought pattern. That's all you need. Verse 4. How he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priest alone. He went into the house of God and ate the bread off of the table before God, the showbread. It stays on there for a week and they replace it with fresh bread. And the priests get the old bread. But him and his men were hungry. And the priest allowed him to eat it from the table. There's an exception in the Old Testament that says you need to be careful about interpretation of laws. Marriage, divorce, we do it today. We get papers all the time and they're hammering divorce. And you know, sure, Malachi says God hates divorce. Well, that's it. There's no exceptions. Then they hammer Matthew 5. There's an exception in Matthew 5. Then they hammer Matthew 19, which has two exceptions to the law. And then 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 9 destroys the whole argument. Well, you got to be careful. You got to be honest with Scripture. You start getting narrow-minded and you start wanting to make sure people are guilty, you'll find verses to put them under guilt. And Jesus said, Have you not read what David did? There's nothing worse than going into the house of God and taking the bread off the table. But you know what? God might be concerned about hungry people who are really desperate for food. Verse 5. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? What do you think the priests are doing all day long in the temple? They're working. Nobody's done.
Their whole service is about a lot of work by the priest. And you're getting on us because my men are hungry and they step aside and they pull off some grain and, you know, they're eating seed.
And you want them to be punished. Oh, Deuteronomy 23:25. Yeah, the law allowed for that. That as long as you didn't use a sickle and harvest it for the winter because you didn't do any work, you didn't plant anything, you didn't harvest. Now you're going to harvest somebody else's crops? No, you freely get what you need. Oh, you want to get some grapes? As long as you don't put it in a basket and carry a bunch home, God provided in the law for people's needs. You know, and so they have you not read verse 6? Well, back verse 5. Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? Have you ever thought that your interpretation of the laws might not be right? That there were exceptions? Verse 6. But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. If they had any idea who Jesus was, and if they had any idea within 3 years, we're going to change the covenant completely. That this is going to be irrelevant, what we're discussing here about breaking the Sabbath. Jesus makes the laws. He is God. You probably need to listen to Jesus, what he's saying. You know, you look at verse 41, that same chapter. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented of the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah's here. You know, Nineveh, the Assyrians, world power. And we send this reluctant preacher, Jonah, and he preaches, and somehow the heathen repent. And they stave off judgment for 150 years. And somebody greater's here? Yeah, it's going to be bad for you people, because y'all not repenting. Verse 42, the queen of the south, Ethiopia, shall rise up with this generation at the judgment, and shall condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon's here. I mean, that woman traveled all the way from Egypt, Ethiopia, all the way to Jerusalem, just to hear, just to want to know what the wisdom of God was. And you folks ain't putting forth no effort to learn. You're pushing your laws, your traditions, basically, and you're not interested in the true meaning of the law. And in the judgment, the queen of Ethiopia is going to stand up and condemn you people. Well, you need to be careful. You need to be honest with Scripture. You need to have your mind open. Somebody points out an example. Somebody points out a verse. You better be careful. Marriage divorce. The guilty party. You can't remarry. I asked the preacher, who are they married to? Since the other person's free to get married, who are they bound to? Oh, God, really? You know, we don't think. We just push our agenda. Verse 7, but if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. God wants compassion. They have no compassion in their law. You ate, you're guilty of working on the Sabbath. It's in, case closed. Why? Because evil hearts have wrong motives. And they don't have compassion. And that's what God wants, is compassion from people. Thinking about other people. Verse 9 following, you know, the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Verse 10, and behold, there was a man with a withered hand, and they questioned him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath in order that they might accuse him? Evil hearts. I mean, why are there so many teachings out here? So many interpretations? Evil motives is why. I mean, they're wanting to accuse Jesus. And so, if he says it's okay to heal on the Sabbath, we got him for breaking the Sabbath. And all our followers know that's not right. Well, you're dealing with Jesus. Do you want to test Jesus? Is that what you want to do? Verse 11. And he said to them, what man shall there be among you who shall have one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? You only got one sheep. If you got 100 sheep, it's not quite as valuable as one sheep. and your one sheep falls in a pit. Now, what's anybody going to do? You're going to get down in that mud and dig that sheep out because it has great value to you. It doesn't matter whether it's a Sabbath or not. You're going to have compassion on the sheep because of your motive. You're going to lose your profit. That's what you're going to do. They can't argue with that. Verse 12. Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Caught him. If you do it for your sheep, what? What's wrong with my disciples fulfilling their hunger? What's wrong with healing a withered man, showing compassion to him? There's nothing wrong with that. You do it all the time, especially in certain circumstances where the animal's life's in danger or peril. What about a man with a physical problem? Would it be good to show compassion? Is it wrong to show compassion on the Sabbath? No, because you hypocrites do it all the time. So what's the problem? It's a lesser value things. Verse 13, and he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. It was restored to normal like the other. And so, power of God, power of Jesus, showing compassion. Oh, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Their view is wrong. And they have evil hearts. Verse 13. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and counseled together against him as to how they might destroy him. You hear all these protests and all this, and it always sounds like, man, they're righteous. You got to be careful. You got to be honest. You got to look for the truth. Because people can do things for wrong reasons. All these people that follow the Pharisees think they're wonderful. Oh, if they get a chance, they'll kill the Son of God. Because he's getting in the way. He's stealing people from them. And so, you know, you got to be careful. They're going to go out and try to destroy him. Verse 15. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. And many followed him, and he healed them all. So you want to follow the Pharisees, you want to follow Jesus. Jesus, in his law, has compassion. Jesus cares about the people that need the help, and he'll help them. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We're not letting religion get in from doing good, especially healing of people who he cares about. Verse 16, and he warned them not to make him known in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, there's a timetable here. Don't tell people what's happening here. Keep it quiet. We can't get to the cross too early. And so there's a timetable. And we've got to fulfill things, and he's got to work its way out. Scripture said it, verse 18. Behold, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. I mean, Jesus is a servant of God doing the will of God. Pharisees are challenging it, trying to kill him, misusing Scripture to get their ends. And God's trying to work out salvation to the Gentiles. Bigger plan. God cares about all. And we're trying to move through that. Verse 19. He'll not quarrel, not cry out, nor anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he'll not put out, until he leads justice to victory. Jesus is gentle and meek. He's open to people. He's inviting people to come. He's not about crushing people. He's not about putting them under laws that control them to where no good can be done. It's not just about a righteousness that's external and show. It's about from the heart. And the issue is they have no compassion. And they don't mind accusing anybody falsely. There's an evil heart, and they'll definitely kill Jesus if they can. But guess what? Here's Jesus, who's the opposite. You know, he won't break a reed. I mean, he's tender. He's considerate until we get to the end here. Verse 21, in his name, the Gentiles will hope. There's a eternal salvation coming. through what Jesus is doing, and all these Jews can see is a lawbreaker. Never dreaming that it's their view that's wrong. And so they just keep on going there. Verse 38. And then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Verse 39, he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, yet no sign shall be given it but a sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." They want another sign. There's something wrong. They're not concerned about truth and what's right and what's best for everybody. "Hey, I'll give you a sign, just like Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights. Talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. That's your sign. So that I died for your sins." You know, in Acts chapter 2. They kill him. God raised him from the dead. You know, and Peter begins to preach. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." There was the miracles, there were the signs, there was the wonders. They know it. It's not that they haven't had a chance. Their evil darkness is blinding them. What about the miracles? It's as if they don't exist. You're guilty. And they know that. Verse 23, "This man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." You used the Romans. I mean, godless men, you had him put to death. But it was all part of the predetermined plan. The foreknowledge of God. God's will is to save mankind. And he's working that out despite all the opposition. We're trying to save somebody. In verse 24, "And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power." I mean, man faces some bigger problems than they're worried about eating on the Sabbath. I mean, there's the agony of death, dying separated from God. But Jesus came to put an end to that. And for all kind of verses, they're saying it's going to come. But what's the use of verses if you misinterpret verses? But the verses are going to come back and haunt you. If you're not careful, if you're not honest, they're going to come back and get them. You know, in verse 34, "For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet.'" The Lord said to my Lord. Two different people David talking about. God and Christ, the Messiah. And until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. People have to choose. They have to be able to see the right path. But they're going to be enemies. And the Pharisees don't even know they're enemies. But they're not bashful about challenging Jesus. But they have no heart, no compassion. It's all external. And it's no wonder, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. In case you missed the point here, you killed the Son of God. And God raised him up, sits at the right hand of God." And you can either bow or be an enemy. But you know in verse 38 when they say, "What shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent." How do the people of God get in such a predicament? There was no honesty. There was no sincerity in this deal. And now you're told to repent? You just can't move over from what they've been doing into Christianity. There's got to be some reborn. You got to be newness of life put in these people. I mean, repentance has got to be there. You can't continue down that same thought pattern and motives that you had before and not end up in the same place later after you're in the church. There needs to be repentance. "And let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Boy, forgiveness of your sins. You know, how 3,000 that day understood what Peter was talking about is almost a miracle. Out of all those people there. But you know what? They were honest. I mean, they were listening. And it was the quoting of all those Old Testament verses. They accepted them for what they said. God said it in Joel. Peter said, here's what it means. This is what Joel said. Oh boy. And then here's what David said. And that's the difference. Honesty and sincerity towards Scripture versus just wanting to make the rules where you can use them, manipulate them to control other people. That's not a Jesus. Compassion. You know, and sometimes we have to think, we have to be careful. That, you know, if you run across one example that says that's not right, you better figure out how it works. Because all you need is one example. It means you're wrong. So be honest, be careful. You need to respond anyway once you come, so we stand and sing.